Right, this message on Sunday the 19th of January 2025. Wow. It's a long, long time that I remember going back, but I'm not going to go there. But, you know, I'm sure like everyone else, in those years, I have had been worried at various times about various things. And you know, very few of them actually turned out as bad as what the worrying cost me. And I think we're all the same. We get a worry in our head and it sticks in there and it can rob us of all our blessings if you're not careful. So today's message is simply, don't worry. We have no need to worry if we know the Lord, because He will take care of us. Now, I'm sure, like many of you will agree, that that is so much easier to say than to do. And I agree, it is easier to say, don't worry. You can tell someone not to worry. It's like you can tell someone anything and they'll do exactly what they're going to do anyway. You know, but I think it's important that we remember what the Lord is telling us to do, and that's not to worry, to rely on Him. You know, when we look at what's going on in this world today, it's understandable why people worry. I mean, you've got the ongoing situation in Russia with the hostilities, as the Russians would like to call it, or the war that most sensible people call it, going on, a situation which has ruined not only buildings and properties, but it's claimed many lives on both sides of the fence. Both sides. Then there's the hostilities in Gaza, following the hostage taking of the Israeli spy Hamas, who still hold 94 hostages, and from the 251 that they abducted on the 27th of October, 2023, over 400 days ago, 34 of which have deceased, as we know at present. All of these conflicts caused by man. There's an amendment this morning, at 9:15 this morning, it's been announced that a ceasefire has come into force in Gaza, between Gaza by Hamas and Israel. But how long is it going to last? Let's just watch that space. We don't know. There's no point in us worrying about it, because the Lord is in control and His will be done. And then we look at what's happening in the rest of the world. There's the current ongoing wildfires in California, which has caused many lives and properties to be ruined, and people re-evaluating what's important in their lives. Now, a lot of them will be worrying about what's around the corner. But you know, there are those amongst those who know the Lord, and they know who is in control, and they know who will look after them and direct them. You know, there, as well as the fires, we've had earthquakes in various places throughout the world, causing tsunamis, all of which are attributed to nature, some would say. All of these events, whether they're man-made or global, they're common, and they have the common effect that they cause loss of property, lives, the wealth of people who've spent all of their life just trying to build up their bank account and to wear all the jewellery that you and I would probably sink if we got into the bath wearing, yeah, around our necks. You know, and they get caught up in all sorts of things, and then these effects come and rob them of what they've worked for. How then can I say, don't worry? Well, I believe we need to look at Scripture, which tells us and shows us where we can put our trust. In Psalm 25, verse 1, King David, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. David realized that with God in your corner, you don't need to worry. All you need to do is to put your trust in him and rely on him to see you through. And that's something that we need to take hold of, I believe. Is that favorite old hymn that I love so much? Trust in the Lord and don't despair. Because I want to say, he is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. You know, and so true. I mean, I've walked with the Lord now over 56 years. And he has never let me down yet. I've let him down many times. Yeah, I hold my hands up. But he loves me all the same. Even my wife doesn't love me at times. But he never falls out of love with me. Sorry, dear. Making you blush. You know, the current events should remind us to take heed of what Scripture tells us. Again, as we read from Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Couldn't be any clearer, could it? What we have at present on earth, whether we are rich or poor, whether we've got big houses, small houses, or whatever, whenever we depart this mortal coil, it's all going to be left behind us. And if we haven't got treasures awaiting us in heaven, if we don't know the Lord as our God and Savior, then we've got nothing to look forward to. So just think about it. Let's not think about building up just treasures here. That's why, as part of our offerings and tithes, that we again tithe a tenth of that to the Lord's work, the seeds to grow his kingdom, hopefully for people to be able to build their treasures in heaven and go to be with him rather than the other extreme, which we all know. You know, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can rely on him to meet all of our needs and all, and even some of our wants. You know, because he is a gracious God and he knows the human needs, because as Rob's already said this morning, he came to earth as a man and he understands the pressures of human life. So he gives us a little extra. Often, you know, if you don't know the Lord, I pray that you will give it some serious thought and decide to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And then you can claim all of his blessings and all of his promises. Because if you don't know him, if you're not in the family, how can you expect to inherit any of his wealth? There is only one way you can do that, and that is accept his promises. And that's as Jesus told his disciples when they asked him. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. If you're not the Father's, as I said, you won't be welcome in the family. Further on, Jesus makes his disciples aware that if you know him as your Lord, He is aware of your needs. As we read from John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this makes it quite clear to me. I think clear to anyone who really listens and understands what Scripture is telling us. It's all about what the Lord can do for us. And not so much what we can do for him, because the Lord doesn't really need us, but he loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with us. We need him, because without him, we are nothing. We have no power. We'll be just like the grass here one day, blown away in the wind, and nothing to even let you know what was there in the first place. You know, we need to remember what he says. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That scripture reminds me of another lovely old hymn. I love hymns. I don't know about you, but I find them so uplifting. And you know, they can bring scripture to life, more so even than just reading it at times. Just A Closer Walk with Thee, it's entitled. And it goes, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of joy and comfort from scripturally based hymns. There's a lot of hymns out there at the minute, and they're all nice music, lots of words, but really a lot of time it's more about the entertainers than it is about the scripture, about the subject, which it should be. But that's me being judgmental again, and I'm told not to judge. So forgive me for that. Somebody asked me, why is it that you love hymns so much? And immediately that was just bringing to my mind another hymn. To answer that question, and that is, there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, what else could be my answer? Jesus tells us not to worry. And to me, that's good enough. It's hard to do, but we should endeavor to try. As we read from Matthew 6, 25 to 27. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And it's so true, but we still do it, don't we? We still do it. But don't beat yourselves up too much about it, because he knows that we still do it. And he knows that if you're trying to live by his direction and walk in his path, he will forgive you little foibles from time to time. When we seriously think about it, we realize just how true that is. I'm sure there have been and there still will be times when we all worry. We'll worry about silly things. We'll worry about big things. And I used to worry about silly little things like going out when I was a young boy and maybe ripping a pair of trousers, which my mum had just bought me for going back to school, getting caught in the chain of a bike and covered in oil and what have you, and thinking about going in and facing the music. And then go in, and lucky for me, my mother wasn't the vicious kind. She was a Christian woman, and she was disappointed, but she treated me with love and care and forgiveness, and I didn't get a new pair of pants, so I went back to school in my shorts. And that taught me a lesson, you know, but there are ways. But I still remember the love and the worry and the... I was really scared to go home. The fear. And then when you realise, you know, why were you so afraid? And I still can't answer that, why I was so afraid, because I knew my mum loved me. I never wasn't abused in any way as a kid. But that's fear for you. It can rob you of all sorts. Another thing that gets it to worry people is the news. You turn on the television and the radio, and you know, I don't know about you, but I always feel that we don't always get the facts from the story. Instead, we get the reporter's interpretation of the events. And they're all based, or could be biased, by their own perspective of the situation. And I think that can cause a lot of worry to people, whether it's about increase in costs, and you get people who are on the breadline worrying about how they're going to manage the next month. And some of these things are talked about maybe being brought in a year's time, but the way they're put across by the reporter can just start a little flame, which will grow into a forest fire. All fires, whether big or small, all start by one little spark. Then, of course, there's social media. My social media, there's a lot of good on it. But there's also a lot of harm caused through it, because rumours can simply be spread so quickly. You can open up a social media, whether it's Facebook or whatever, and there'll be somebody's idea on there, and they'll say, if you agree, repost it. And you'll get idiots that they just laugh at the thought of it even, and they'll repost it anyway. And we know what happens there when you think back to what happened in Southport and other countries and other towns and villages around the UK when there was riots, when those three children were killed. And it was all because of misrepresentation, and there's guys still in jail because of it. One's lost his job as a train driver, I believe, and he's doing 20-odd 8 months, I think it is, in jail for being an inciter of trouble. You know, Jesus reminds us to be aware that there will be rumours. We need to remember that there's always going to be rumours. As we read from Matthew 24 and 6, we are told, you will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed at such things. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. The Lord is in control. At times this world looks out of control, but it's out of control for one reason only, because it needs a good shake-up. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's shaking up the world, I believe. I recommend that whatever trouble you find yourself in, worrying about it will not do any good, whether it's large or small worry. You need to remember and follow the advice of yet another old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Yes, God our Father, He's always ready and waiting to receive our prayers. And He should always be our first port of call at any sign of trouble or worry. You know, a lot of times it's human nature. We get a problem and we go to our closest friend, or we go to the woman in the corner shop or the barman behind the bar and seek advice. Some of us might even go to the doctor or the dentist if it happens to be in their field to seek the advice. But the Lord is ready 365 days a year, 24/7, and 366 on a leap year. He has no time off, And he wants to hear from his children. Just like anybody, any one of us parents, we love to hear from our children. We maybe don't always like to hear what they want to tell us about, but we like to know that they're still alive and they're well. And if they are in trouble, we'd like to think that they know that they can come to us for advice and help. And that's what our Lord wants us to do, to keep in touch, to let him know what we need, because he wants to. He is our Father, after all. And that's what fathers want to do. They want to reassure their children and to help them to grow into the people that he would like them to be. In Philippians 4:4-8, we read what we should do. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's important that we realize the harm that worry can cause if it's not handled properly. It can damage not only our physical, but also our spiritual health. So don't worry, but follow the advice that we've just read in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's what Jesus went to the cross and died for, to cover all our sins. And by accepting him, we've got the right to go before his Father and approach the throne of grace in prayer, under the covering of his righteousness, because we've got none of our own. It's only under the covering of his righteousness. And that's something that we need to remember. There is no need to worry. It's all covered. It's all been paid for. As long as we remain in the vine, we can rely on the power of Jesus to see us through. With this passage, I'm more or less going to close. And it's a passage which I'm sure you're well aware of. It's where Jesus calms the storm, which we can be read from Matthew 8:23-27. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. If you've Jesus on your side, if you're in the boat with Jesus, as it were, you know that you need to trust him, and you can trust him. You need to study your scriptures, meditate on them. We need to grow our faith, and we need to remember that God will have the final say in all things. So, really, I'll leave you with that question. Why do you need to worry? You don't. Put your trust in Jesus and look to his Father, to whom you can speak to as his son or daughter. And your prayers will be answered. Maybe not the way you think they should be answered, but they'll be answered to meet your best situation. I haven't written it down, but remember what Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah never spoke anything apart from what the Lord said to him. So it's really the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, it's not from Jeremiah. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope on the future. And those plans and the hope never changes once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You can claim all of his promises. They're all yes and amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us first, and it's only because you loved us that we can come to you and show you our love. And the best way we can show you our love is to bring to you all our worries, our concerns, in prayer, and to seek your help, your answers, your guidance, because you are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, we just thank you for all you do for each one of us, and we pray that you continue to keep your hand upon us. Help us to grow more fruitful for you, and we ask it all in and through the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.